Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello and welcome to episode 68 of New Shooter Canada. This week we are going to talk about, actually Thomas is going to lecture everybody about reading their manuals.
Oh God.
So stay tuned for that, folks.
Yeah.
I've already been chastised over it.
Before we get to that, let me introduce my two co-hosts. I have Kelly Lynn. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
And Thomas Donnelly. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, everybody.
How did I do for introducing my host?
You did a great job. Beautiful. You did a much better job than Thomas did last week.
Yeah, I forgot Jazz last week. I'm sorry, Jazz.
He chastised us.
Yeah, so, as always, I didn't think he was a woman when I wrote on the show.
What?
Holy outdated references, Batman. Like, that goes... Oh my goodness, Thomas, you kill me. Go grab a Coke, put in a Pepsi bottle.
Okay. I get Dr. Pepper going right now.
I'm going to start with what we did in Guns, because unfortunately, I didn't do anything in Guns this week.
Oh no, we're back on that
again. No, I have no excuse. I was off all week, so it was just pure laziness.
Oh, okay.
I was sleeping until like 10 o'clock every day. And
really?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. I worked all weekend.
I had forklift training, so I had to be up at, I'd be at the place for 8 o'clock Saturday morning. I showed up, I'm like, there's got to be laws against this. This is ridiculous. So, anyway, so yeah, I've got no excuse. I was just very lazy.
You're being lazy.
And I'm a cold weather shooter, too, so I really have no excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Although it hasn't been that cold in London. It's been pretty warm. Minus the last few days. The last few days haven't been, but last week was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
So we'll save Thomas for last because he's got almost a page here.
And it's bullet point form too. How'd that happen? God.
Kelly's just got a little blurb. So
yeah.
Take it away, Kelly.
So I didn't do much either. I went back to work last week. Ugh. I went to SFRC on Saturday. I went in the afternoon. I just missed one of our friends, John Fitzgerald. He went in the morning. He was actually asking them if I had been there yet. I'm going, holy cow, I guess I'm pretty predictable, aren't I?
You have a stalker.
Anyways.
So I think your week in Guns always starts with, well, went to SFRC.
It does, doesn't it, every week?
It's what we do. Every Saturday morning, we go get a cup of coffee, we go to SFRC, see what's new in Guns, see what they have, we usually buy something. Anyways, yeah.
I'm going to add that to the show notes template, so it'll be there every week automatically.
Put it in her bio.
When we don't go, Kevin went to, we didn't go until the afternoon. This is the reason why we didn't go into the afternoon. He went to Frontenac and did the RO course there. So it was in the morning, and then we waited until he got done, and then we went out to SFRC together. So I didn't do the RO course, but he did, so he's good to go there. So that being said, we picked up some 308 for the SCAR that we're going to be shooting down in Michigan, so we had to actually bring some ammunition with us so that we could fire it off. So,
are you going to do a 308 for the Appleseed?
Hell yeah.
Cha-ching.
Hey. Cha-ching. Boom.
Hey,
boom.
People shoot AKs for Appleseed.
That's true, they do.
But the AKM will start cheap.
Yeah, and then they start flinging that empty brass all the way down the line on my back. Yeah.
That Anyways, would be Chad.
Yeah, Chad was a super nice guy, but yeah. Had to move the next day because he kept... he didn't actually fire the AK on the second day, did he?
No, he brought something else.
Yeah. So that being said, yeah, we bought some 308. So we'll pick up some more. And guess what brand the 308 was?
Agula.
Yeah. How'd you guess?
Seriously?
Yeah, it was.
I've never heard of that stuff until you start talking about it on the show.
How much was it?
It was, well, my price or the regular price?
Regular price.
It's $28. It was $28 a pack. So
for 20.
Yep. So, yeah, we picked up two boxes of it, and then we'll pick up another couple of boxes next week or so when we go.
That would be a very expensive apple seed.
It would, wouldn't it? Oh my gosh, yeah, it would. Anyways, but I'm sure, if you're looking at, I'm sure I would have, got the 210, just the size of the bullet holes themselves.
So, Kelly?
Yeah?
Who's holding the RO course?
CSSA was doing it, okay. But I don't know who the instructor was. There was, apparently there was about 12 to 15 people that were taking it, so. Anyways, our friend Dave was on it. Dave from SFRC.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so he was on it, and yeah.
So it's probably Jim Drysdale teaching the course.
I have no idea. Anyways, yesterday we went out to Frontenac as well, and it was +7 on the range. We were the only ones there because it was pouring rain. Like, I took pictures and I posted them, so it was pouring rain. We set it in our rifles, the 10/22s that we have, and we set it in for the 100 yard mark, and it took us a while. Mine, yeah. So when I first started, there was nothing even on paper, and then I moved it up. I moved it up 10 MOA, still nothing. Another 10 MOA, and then it hit the bottom of the target, and so I adjusted it based on that, and then did some more. And not too, so it took us a while to sight in the rifles because we wanted to do the new challenge this month. So, and usually we do it at 25 yards, but this time we wanted to do the 100 yard. And that, yeah. So yeah.
Kevin posted his target.
Kevin posted his. He got his sighted in a little bit quicker than I did. And so next week I did one round of targets, or actually I did two rounds. The first round didn't make it onto paper. The second round did make it onto paper, but it was still too far to the right, so I had to make an adjustment after that. But by that time, both of us were ready to go home, so we'd spent a couple hours there. So, and as I said, it was boring. So, and that's it. Didn't do much else. What about you, Thomas?
Well, I was going to go to the range today, but it was. I'm a fair weather shooter. It's cold, it's windy, and by the time I finished running around, today, because Monday's my only off day this week, I ran out of sunlight. I didn't get all my stuff done about 3:30, and I wouldn't have gotten to the range till 4, so it wouldn't give me much time. And I got mail.
Yeah, I heard.
I got the OozeCon in the mail today, and this thing, it's for the price point, it really impresses the heck out of me. It's a 12-gauge, really shorty, 14-inch barrel. The barrel's threaded, and it comes with 3 chokes, full, improved, and modified. And I believe it's a Benelli choke. And it comes with the 3 tubes, so it's pretty cool. The buttstock is adjustable and removable. It's got 3 different positions on the buttstock, and the shell holder built into the stock. The front sight is integral. It's not a bead. It's a full front sight that's soldered to the barrel. But the point isn't brass, so it's just straight black. So I may put a little color on there to make it easier to pick up.
You want to borrow some of my pink nail polish?
No, but actually, I have some glow-in-the-dark paint that would just put a little drop on there. That would probably do the trick. But it does have, funny enough for a shotgun, it's got a grooved receiver, like a 22, and it is drilled and tapped just on the back, so I think it's set up for a rear aperture sight to go with the front sight, so you can put a rear sight on it if you want.
No rear sight.
There is no rear sight because it's a shotgun, but you can, it's drilled and tapped to put an aperture sight if you want to shoot slugs through it. And it's nice. It's not like the Remington or the Mossberg. When you pull the trigger, it cycles right away. You don't have to. If you've got on target and you want to do, as soon as you fire that shot, you can have the pressure on the pump, and as soon as the hammer releases, the pump slides back. So it's sort of a speed feed, I guess. Trigger pull is kind of heavy, but with no over travel and a quick reset. Actually, if you fire it, pump it, leave your finger on the trigger and do your reset, the trigger pull is a little bit lighter that way. The inside of the receiver is pretty clean, minimal tool marks. I'm actually really impressed at how clean the there's no machining marks in it, and the chamber is nice and smooth, not like the some of the Remingtons I've seen lately. They've got all kinds of groove rings going down, and when you fire your shell, a lot of times the new Remingtons, your rounds get caught in the chamber. But this thing's nice and smooth, and it's chrome lined. I'm not crazy about the baked on finish, but it's evenly applied, and it's nicely done for a gun at this price point. The action bars were clean too, nice and smooth, no burrs or dings. I'd like to see the forend secured a little bit better. It's just a there's a plastic tab, and the forend just goes underneath there. So if I'm going to keep this, I would put a little epoxy on there. But the stock comes right off. You can either position it for three positions, or you press a button, the whole stock comes off, and you've got a police riot gun. But it only weighs 6 pounds. It's a light little sucker.
Light.
Yeah, so when I test fired, I'm just going to use 2 3/4 inch. I'm not going to put any. It's rated for 3 inch magnums. I don't think I want to put 3 inch magnums to this
little
thing.
Come on, Nancy.
Boom.
Oh, Nancy. Yeah.
They hurt. They hurt.
Nancy.
It's 6 pounds.
Oh, I should fire it first, and I'll show you how it's done.
Okay. You buy the rounds.
Just kidding.
I did bring some. I had everything packed up. I was going to go to the range today, but like I said, I rented a light. And I did bring a box of 3 inches. I was going to try one or two, but...
I was going to ask you, because usually, you know, you have an indoor range, so, but if you're shooting shotgun, you have to go outside.
It's funny. Our range actually on the licensing says that we're allowed to shoot shotgun inside, but the range rules say no shotgun, so I'm definitely not going to shoot it.
No.
Even though we're approved for it, it's a big no-no. We've been having issues lately with people shooting full metal jackets inside. So, yeah, we got a letter from the club secretary. Somebody's been shooting full metal jackets. They've been shooting 17 HMRs indoors and plated 22 magnums. And of course, they're stupid enough to leave their empty cases around. So,
not good.
Yeah, okay.
It just makes it bad for everybody else. What about you? What you doing, guns? You didn't do anything this week, George? You didn't buy anything? You didn't get any parts for your AR?
No, we covered that already.
He did a podcast this evening. That's it.
That's what I did in guns for next week.
Yeah.
Well, you listened to the end of Modern Rifleman Radio, at least.
Yes, I did.
All right, on that note, we're going to go straight to guns in the news.
Guns in the news. Did you guys figure out who's doing story one and who's doing story two?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, whoever's doing story one, take it away. I was talking to a contact about mounted shooting while this discussion was going on.
Well, Kelly's going to do story one, and we're just going to go over story two. We won't do through the whole thing.
All right, story one.
Follow up for hers.
Kelly, take it away.
Well, originally we had said that I would be doing story number three, which, never mind, I'm just going to read story one. Or we could actually just ditch this and restart this. So, what do you want to do there, boys?
Let's ditch it and restart it. Put in an edit point.
Ditch what? No, this is gold. This is podcast gold. Keep going. Keep it rolling.
All right, story number one, which isn't my story. It's Thomas's who put this in. So
this is continuing the story that you put in.
This is true. However, I put in story number three. Anyways.
Oh, pure gold.
So this is the follow-up on the story that I did a couple of weeks ago in regards to the guy who was who was the pastry chef owner who got sentenced for illegal guns. Anyways, all right. So a Prince George Provincial Court judge found Karl Heinz Haus, good German name there.
Sorry. I'll just go back on mute.
Okay, thanks. Let a harmless hobby get out of hand in sentencing him to 6-month conditional service Monday on convictions related to a high profile seizure of prohibited firearms and magazines from his home slightly more than 2 years ago. So this
And he got a 6-month conditional sentence.
Yeah, so he was the tinkerer. Anyways, in issuing a decision that took nearly 75 minutes to read out, Judge Shannon Keyes is very understanding, I think. Described,
I think so, too. This guy was lucky.
Yeah. Described House, 55, as someone who... How old are you, by the way, Thomas?
55.
There you go. I couldn't see.
Thank you, Kelly.
You're welcome.
How old are you, Kelly?
Let's get back to the story.
So every year when you have a birthday, do you just take a decade off your age?
That's next year.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I get my senior's discount now at Trapper's Drug Mart.
Oh, God.
Wish they sold ammo.
Okay. Seriously, do you want me to continue?
Please.
Okay.
My dad works for Shoppers now, and he gets like 30% off. He'd be buying boatloads of ammo.
Are you sure we're not Skrulls Network here?
So House is 55.
The Shannon Keys, the judge, described him as someone with a passion for weapons of all sorts, who in a bid for historical accuracy, yeah, I'd be putting air quotes around that, crossed the line largely by converting two assault rifles into fully automatic weapons. I'd be taking some issue with assault.
Crossed the line, okay.
Yeah, anyways. House was arrested on September 2013 after Canadian Border Service Agency officers intercepted two packages destined for House's address from Germany, holding components used to convert an M16 rifle to a fully automatic weapon. Among the items RCMP subsequently seized from his Prospect Point home were four illegal and improperly stored firearms. Wasn't he storing them in his garage, and also one in a book, and hollowed out book?
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, including a fully automatic M16 with the serial number defaced, yeah, and a fully automatic AK-47 rifle with a defaced serial number in the home's garage.
Now, isn't that a 5-year sentence right there for that defaced serial number?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So, which he's, yeah, anyways. Next.
That's like going, like, prohib on prohib.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
He's got the AK, which is prohib, and then it's an automatic to boot.
And then he converts.
Like prohib, so it's like prohib on prohib.
Let's just finish the story, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay.
My OCD. Next to the rifles were found 22 high-capacity magazines for the M16 and 13. So, yeah, anyways, we'll talk about that in a second.
Some more prohibited devices that he created.
And 13 for the AK-47, all with pins that kept their capacity to the legal limit of 5 rounds removed. So he's depinned the magazines. Anyways. Many of them were loaded. An unregistered Ruger 9mm pistol with a fully loaded 10-round magazine was also found in the garage, while a prohibited short-barrel pistol was found stored inside there is the hollowed-out book in the living room. So, I don't know
how... Okay, so unsafe storage on top of that, because he's got it fully loaded.
Right. So, a legal but improperly stored 12-gauge shotgun was found inside a television cabinet with an assortment of legal and properly stored firearms were found downstairs. Keyes noted that while the weapons and ammunition were improperly stored, most were in a locked and alarmed garage, as opposed to being unlocked in an unlocked pickup truck parked at a shopping center. What does that have to do with anything? Okay. She found he tinkered with guns in the name of achieving historical authenticity rather than for any nefarious purpose. Anyways, no one was harmed, no one was injured, no harm was intended, Keyes said. There are no ill-gotten gains. There are no surrounding circumstances of criminal behavior, which is true. He's not somebody who is. Anyways, not part of organized crime or anything, so I guess that's right. It was simply that Mr. House foolishly allowed his incessant pursuit of an intriguing hobby to lead him astray. Oh, poor Muffin. Anyways, however,
he is so damn lucky.
I know. However, she found House knew he was breaking the law. No freaking kidding. Anyways, Mr. House knew his collection inside his house was illegal. That was the part of the thrill keeping the collection, Keyes said. Otherwise, she was satisfied House would never have used his collection for illegal purposes. Where else do we want to go with this? As for the concern the collection would pose a danger if stolen for nefarious purposes, Keyes said that the same could be said for every firearm legitimately owned by every licensed gun owner. She's actually right. Or indeed, every motor vehicle belonging to anyone. Crown Counsel had been seeking 18 to 24 months in custody for House Base, partly on the number of illegal weapons seized, and it wasn't a huge cash, I think they said, but anyways. But in issuing a decision that took more than 75 minutes to read out, Keyes disagreed with that premise. Aside from properly licensed and stored sporting weapons, Mr. House had two automatic rifles and two handguns, lots of magazines, and 5 illegal cartridges. Keyes said, to describe the collection as an arsenal, in my mind, is exaggeration. We should get her to actually be part of the, anyways, the gun
lobby. She should
lobby.
Be on it.
So, if Keyes' guns make up an arsenal, I suspect there are more arsenals in every residential lot in Prince George. The ownership of firearms is common in North or British Columbia, and gun owners often own several guns. More alarming for Keyes is the more than 31,000 rounds of large and small caliber ammunition also seized. But she also noted House's ownership of that quantity is perfectly legal. House pled guilty to 6 counts and forfeited $50,000 worth of weapons and ammunition to the Crown. A conditional sentence is served at home rather than behind bars. House will still be able to work, but is subject to a curfew. He has also issued a 10-year prohibition on owning unrestricted firearms and a lifetime prohibition on restricted firearms.
That's one I've never heard. Usually they prohibit you from firearms. They don't specify unrestricted and restricted when they do a prohibition order.
Yeah, 10 years is still a long time.
It is.
I want to go back and just touch on one thing here where it says, Keyes noted that while weapons and ammunition were improperly stored, most were in a locked and alarmed garage as opposed to, and then she makes the pickup. Once you're, now I could be wrong about this, but if you have a room and you've secured it, especially with an alarm, does it not essentially become like a vault? Does it not become a safe?
It's safe storage.
No, but like, you know, in your safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can store pistols and ammunition in a safe.
Yes.
You can't have them loaded, but you can have the two of them in a safe together, right?
True, mm-hmm. But he had a loaded handgun, too.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if that garage is locked and alarmed, does it not follow under the storage rules of a safe?
It could be. I'm sure his lawyer could argue that.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, if maybe that's why he kind of dodged a bit of a bullet, pun fully intended.
Well, he's...
I know he still had the one pistol that was loaded in a book.
So he's breaking all these laws, but since he had everything stored in a safe, he still...
But when we're talking about a stored lock cabinet or a stored locked room or whatever, it has to be something that's really...
Specifically designed.
No, it doesn't have to be something that's specifically designed, but something that's really hard to get into and something that you just can't, you know, get up and walk away with or whatever. But how many garages do you know are really hard to get into?
Well, I can't crack an alarm.
No.
So I would say that's pretty hard to get into.
Well, if it's an alarm, you got like 20 minutes before the cops get there.
But that's not stipulated in the law.
No, it's not stipulated in the law. I'm just saying that I can probably get into your garage in like 2 seconds.
Oh, especially if it's got a side door and it doesn't have a steel frame door.
But you could say that about a house, so then we shouldn't be allowed to store firearms in our homes because our homes aren't secure. You can break into a house in 2 seconds.
Do you really feel comfortable storing your firearms in your garage?
It's alarmed.
Anyways, okay, whatever.
I don't know. I would think you could break into a house easier than a garage.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Especially the garage doesn't have windows. There's no windows in my garage. When my doors are down, they're locked because they're electronic.
Do you want to give everybody your address?
No, but that's what Thomas is saying. Exactly what I was thinking. Is it easier to break in through a closed garage door or somebody's front door? Because most front doors have windows on. You can smash a window, unlock it.
I'm just saying.
A deadbolt door frames are just wood. You can kick in a deadbolt fairly easily.
Yeah, I'm just saying that. I know that people say it's quite easy to get into a garage. Just pop the garage door off its track. It's really easy.
Yeah,
anyways.
No idea.
I just find it's funny that she even considered it being safe storage, considering all the laws he was breaking with prohibited. He had all this bad stuff, but since he had it safely stored, you know.
Yeah, I realize what I was saying is a bit of a stretch, but he broke almost every single... gun law.
He knew what he was doing, and it wasn't based on historical accuracy. No, it wasn't.
He made prohibited magazines. He created prohibited devices. He had prohibited firearms that he wasn't supposed to have. He was safe storage laws. He had guns loaded. You know, he broke I don't know how many laws. Then you look at somebody, say Bruce Montagu, who didn't break any laws. All he did was let his license lapse to challenge it in the Canadian courts. And the federal and the provincial government went after him with a vengeance and took everything from him. And he did like 18 months in jail. And he didn't do anything except, I'm letting my license lapse because I want to challenge this. This is unconstitutional. I want to challenge it in court. And he had the whole wrath of the Guns and Gangs Task Force. And he lost everything. And he's banned for life from owning guns. They didn't catch him with anything that he wasn't, that wasn't illegal. He just left his license lapse. And because guns are technically illegal in Canada without a license, he had to get charged in order to take it to court. And just, oh, I can't believe the difference.
At least the guy in BC had a license, so.
Yeah, he did actually have a license. They didn't mention anything about the Kevlar vest. Anyways, he was charged with that too, remember?
I remember that. Yeah, the bullet, well, it's probably not illegal.
Yeah, it isn't if you don't have a license. Now, I don't know. We were talking about that. We weren't sure about what level it was and all that too. So he didn't get charged with it. So
it just tells me that this guy breaks all these laws, and all the guy is trying to do is an unconstitutional challenge, and he loses everything. It's just, it's crazy.
Welcome to Canada.
Yep.
Are we going to do the bouncer stops a gunman?
Sure.
Submitted by Mr. Uzi?
Sure, because, yeah, why not?
Well, Mr. Uzi suggested this to us. This is happening in Calgary. Police said they responded to a shooting at the 10X nightclub just before 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. A 30-year-old man was shot and taken to the hospital in stable condition. Two of the club bouncers are being credited for saving more people from being shot as they put their lives on the line to tackle the gunman, and they did. They literally jumped on the guy. So they probably saved a lot of lives. Around 1:30 a.m., three men pulled up in front of the nightclub. Two waited in the car while the other walked up to the front door and fired several shots inside. When one victim was shot, the police said. Witnesses said the shooter was jumped by staff right away with loaded guns still in his hands. The Calgary Police Gang Suppression Team happened to be on at the scene at the time. So it must have been a good place if the gangs team was there. One passenger in the vehicle tried to help the shooter and did get away. The third person in the car was arrested. Two men are now facing six charges each. A discharge of a firearm with intent to endanger life, unauthorized possession of a firearm, unauthorized possession of a firearm in a vehicle, possession of a firearm with an altered or defaced serial number, aggravated assault, and pointing firearm.
And how much do you want to bet all those charges, except for aggravated assault, will be dropped?
They tend to drop a lot of the firearm charges if to go after the higher ones, which I wish they wouldn't.
So we were discussing it beforehand, Thomas and I, and it's a bad area, and yeah, a lot of gangs in that area. So, and that's what we thought it was. It's a gang thing. So, yeah.
All right. So, what's new in the industry, Thomas?
Nothing.
Excellent. Let's go on to the next thing then.
Okay. So.
Well, SHOT Show's coming up.
You just
next
said
week.
Nothing.
Well, there's a couple of things. Okay. SHOT Show's coming up, so we're going to have all kinds of new stuff coming up within the next couple of weeks, all kinds of new stuff. There's only two things that really interest me. The Springfield RO is coming out in stainless steel. I've always been looking at the RO, but I don't like the Parkerized black finish. So I'd be interested in stainless now when it comes in 9 and 45. And Grand Power has a new 10 millimeter out called the Centimeter. So Modern Rifleman Radio actually
That's
actually
kind of clever.
I thought it was good, right?
I'm looking
That's
at
what it says right
notes.
On it. It says the centimeter right on it.
I'm looking at the show notes, and I'm like, he put 10 millimeter centimeter. I'm like, it's the same thing. Tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were calling it the centimeter. That's hilarious.
Modern Rifleman Radio asked their listeners if they wanted to, because Ken's down there, if they wanted him to look at anything. So I asked Ken to actually go look at the gun for me and see, give me his input on it.
That's
okay. Hi, Ken.
Well, he's going to be down there, so I figure, well, while you're down there, Ken, have a look at it. Tell me what you think about it.
When doesn't he be the roving reporter and give us an interview?
Well, I was thinking about that, too, but he probably want to do his own show first before he does our show.
Why would he want to do his own show first?
We'll make him an honorary co-host, but honorary with a U, Ken.
Do you still have a cell number? We can just call him from the SHOT Show and get a play-by-play as he's walking around.
No. So, I say we move on to Thomas's lecture. I think we're going to lose Kelly. If you hear a thud, then she's fallen out of bed onto the floor.
They didn't like my topic. Well, neither of them had a topic, and I started thinking.
When I'm going to mute myself.
She's going to lose it. When I got this Model 41 Uscon in the mail, it didn't have an owner's manual, which kind of surprised me. Luckily,
I think she did mute herself.
It's basically an 870, so I was familiar with the platform. So I just wanted to brush up. No matter how familiar you are with any particular firearm, it's always a good idea to take a few minutes and go through the owner's manual. You might find some very useful information in there.
Can I interrupt you for just a second?
Sure. Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. It's a man thing.
It's a man thing?
She's not going to be able to get it out.
Go back on mute.
Yeah. No, like, how many men actually really seriously read the manual first? Like, does any man read the manual first? That's really sexist, isn't it?
It is. Go back to mute. A lot of guys don't. A lot of people figure, you know, I know what it is. But, you know, manufacturers do update and improve the products, and sometimes for the better, sometimes it's not. So any new updates will be in your manual.
Or you can get new updates online.
You can, or you can check out the University of YouTube. Especially if somebody goes out and buys, say, a Ruger Mark II or Mark III pistol, the steps they describe in the manual, it doesn't translate very well when you're trying to actually put it back together yourself. So there's some good videos on there. And if you bought a the first generation Mark IIIs, they actually had omitted a step in the manual. So, you know, people got these guns because once they put the magazine disconnect in it, they didn't update the manual. So sometimes you have to go online just to get some extra information on it. Or you have a manual from a foreign manufacturer. It could be unclear or it could be missing altogether, like the 41.
You're kind of defeating your own purpose here. We're supposed to be encouraging people to read the manuals, not telling them all the reasons why they don't need to.
No, but sometimes the information isn't in the manual. Like I said, this didn't come with the manual. You know, it's brand new in the box, and it's supposed to come with the manual.
So can I ask you a question? What did you do?
I'm contacting Lauren and asking for a manual.
So you used it without actually reading the manual first?
It's an 870. The whole action's an 870, so I'm familiar with it.
Oh. Okay.
Now,
well, a lot of times these manuals... it's made in another country, and it's imported that actually translates it. So even the translation isn't done properly. Or sometimes it could be a defunct company, like American Arms, or if you've got a really, really old company, manuals aren't around anymore. But there's a company called, is it Numer Gun Supplies and Guns Grounders? You can contact them, and they actually have old manuals. Or if it's a modern gun, you call Ruger or Remington or Smith & Wesson and ask them for a manual. They will email you a manual free of charge. So when you sell a gun, you know, please include the manual. And when you do, you know, if you do buy a used gun and there is no manual, ask for one. Because even like silly, like the 1911, Kelly's favorite gun, there's difference between different manufacturers. Not all 1911s are the same. Does it have a guide rod or does it have a plunger and a spring? What kind of bushing wrench are you going to need for? Because some of the bushings are different. If it's a Kimber, it doesn't have a Series 70 or Series 80. Kimber has the firing blocks and the grip safety. So if you don't know that you have to depress the grip safety in part of the assembly or disassembly, you're going to have a problem.
Should you really be taking apart a gun if you don't know what you're doing?
That's why you got to read your manual.
Again, we go back to the man stereotype.
That's why you should read your manual. Of course. And if you do have a problem or question, call the manufacturer. They have, like, I've dealt out with Ruger and...
I'm calling Ken. Ken, what do I do?
Go find. But I've called Ruger and I've called Smith & Wesson and I've gotten great customer service and tech support. What I do a lot of times, if I go up to St. William's Arm and I buy a gun and I have to wait a couple of days for the transfer before I can bring it home, I'll say, can I have the manual? And I'll take the manual home with me and I'll read the manual before I even get the gun. So read your manual. Don't be like Kelly and skip the manual. I think you can do it without reading the manual.
All right, so your advice is to?
Read the manual.
Okay. What if you don't get the manual?
Contact the manufacturer and try to get one. If you can't, go online.
Okay.
And if you really can't figure it out, call Trevor.
Awesome.
All right. Well, that was a quick topic this week.
Mm-hmm. Thank God.
I didn't see any other topics put in there by anybody else, Thump Thump.
Hey, Thomas, I'm on your side this week. I'm not going to criticize. I didn't come up with the topic, so.
Okay.
We've been steering away from the new shooter, and I kind of want to steer back in that direction. Like, I don't want to do all new products all the time. I want to put something in for the new shooter.
I think it was great advice.
Thank you. Kelly.
That's awesome advice.
See,
I think all men should read manuals.
Kelly, I have a bag downstairs of nothing but my manuals. I keep all my manuals in a place where because it's got all your part listing, your part number. So if you need a part, if you break an extractor, if you have to order something from the manufacturer, if I call Williams Arms and I say, well, I need a firing pin spring for my Ruger Mark II, first thing Stu's going to say, well, what's the part number for it? Ha ha, I got my manual right here. The part number is 123456.
There is such a thing as the internet. Just saying. Okay.
Kelly's just full on hating today.
Oh, I know.
You usually get it from me. I'm usually the
You should
hater.
Have heard her when I talked about the CSSA and the NFA. She ripped me a new one.
Oh, let's not go down that road. So, events. Let's move on to events.
That's a good idea.
The CSSA will once again be at the Home Toronto Sportsman Show. If you're interested in helping out by assisting the representatives at the show, please drop a line to Mike...
Dunhoven.
Mike.Dunhoven@CSSA-CILA.org. And we will have that. Actually,
I didn't put it in there. It's at the International Center this year.
I already have it in the show notes. So
okay. So they stopped using the exhibition because it's Toronto property and they couldn't have guns there. So now mm-hmm. they're having up the International Center. And
much better place, by the way.
Much better. It's more spread out. And as far as I know, parking's free.
It is actually free. And so that's everybody go March 16th to the 20th. I should really go.
I'm going to go this year.
We should have our own booth, New Shooter Canada.
Sure.
Just saying.
So all the listeners, send us money so we can buy a booth at the Toronto Sportsman Show. Send it to George Hatch, London, Ontario. Make the checks out to cash.
You do get a reduced
Let
fee
me
if,
tell
you're,
you,
if you're non-charitable.
I can build an AR in a month, too, you know.
You know what we need? Never mind. Well, we need actual press credentials.
Hey, George, do you have an AR manual yet?
Yeah, it's AR.com, AR15.com.
Okay.
So, and then there's this one-liner here, something about a podcast charity something in June 25th in Brockville. Don't know what that's about.
And I don't know.
We have any announcements on that?
No. No, we don't.
It's killing me.
I know. Well, you know what? I think that we're pretty much close. We still have one more. Kevin just wants to have another little chat with everybody, and then we can pretty much, we firmed up the day before, the day after, and the day of. We just need to talk about the day of, and then we're ready to roll, everybody.
But so. If you do come, you get a ticket, and you can win this. So keep your ears out.
Yes, we can. We actually.
You get to win Thomas Donnelly.
Dinner and a date.
Everybody who attends is going to get a draw for a ticket to win this gun. So.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
But there's no owner's manual.
All right. We got one more event listed here.
I can't pronounce that name, so somebody else read that one.
Alberni?
Alberni Pistol Steel Challenge Shoot at the Alberni Port Alberni Club. February 14th and 15th from 1200 to 1500 hours at 7715 Sportsman Road, Port Alberni, BC.
Nothing says love it like going to the range.
I keep getting invited to these steel shoots out of the Port Alberni Club, so I put it on.
It's in BC!
Yeah, we have listeners in BC.
Why are you invited? Are you going to hop on a plane and...
I get invited to Calgary all the time, too.
Oh, that's good. You should go one day.
Yeah,
I never get invited to Calgary. What's wrong with you, Calgary? You don't like me or something?
This lovely young lady from the University of Calgary invites me to all the functions at the University of Calgary shooting club.
That's nice. Yeah,
that's because you're a flirt.
You don't even talk to her.
Oh, crickets.
She's cute, but...
Okay, listener email.
Can I read this one?
Absolutely.
Okay, just wanted to say hi. Send a quick email letting y'all know I enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work. It's always nice to receive an email, so I figured I'd send you one this morning. Jeremy Rowland from Reloading Podcast. Hi, Jeremy!
Oh, Jeremy.
And he's got, Jeremy. And he's got a P.S. Yours to go to sleep with each night.
I don't see that. Oh, there is a goodnight Kelly down there. Okay. Goodnight
Kelly.
Goodnight. Anyways, and then... did you guys listen to the latest Reloading podcast?
No, I haven't listened to the latest. I do listen to them.
No, I listen to the one on Sunday. So Saturday night they record, and then I usually listen to it on Sunday night. Anyways, they have a new person that's on there. Did you know this?
No, who's that person?
So there's Jeremy, there's Jason.
There's Mike.
And there's Jim. Well, I sent an email to them.
You forgot Mike.
I said, Mike, seriously, my OCD is a little in overdrive because they got Jeremy, Jason, and Jim. And then there's Mike.
JJJ.
You need to change your name. So he's changed his name to Jethro.
No.
Does he wear overalls?
No, he's Jethro Gibbs from
NCIS. I'm binging on that right now.
Are you?
Yeah, I just finished season one. I'm partway through season two.
So they asked him that too. Was he Jethro from Jethro Bodine? He goes, no, I'm Jethro Gibbs. And then he had to explain the whole Jethro Gibbs thing. So, anyways, but thank you. My OCD is now better. But he's going back to Mike next week. Anyways.
Mike, don't worry. Next time I'm over at Kelly's, I'll turn her pillow sideways.
Well, that was great.
Nice, thanks.
That was so funny. Kevin went down, changed all the pillows, and turned off the TV. And you could see Kelly just starting to vibrate. And like 2-3 minutes, bang, she was down there. She put them all back. And, of course, when I went for my cigarette, I did the exact same thing. And when I came back in the house, they were all corrected.
Okay.
Who wants Rick's email?
Well, I just read the one from Jeremy, so why don't you read it, Thomas?
This one's from Rick. Comment. Hey, guys, gal. I'm not sure if you guys already have this on your list for events, but just found out that the SFRC is sponsoring the Ontario IDPA Championship being held at my club, EOSC, East Ontario Sportsman Club.
Yes. It's the Grenville Club.
The Grenville Club?
Yep. So it's the one that's out in Grenville. We did actually mention this on the show.
A couple months ago.
Sarah sent it to us. Sarah Hissen sent it to us. But absolutely, it's our it's SFRC, so of course we're going to mention it.
So it's IDPA Ontario Provincial Championship on May 14th. May 14th is for the staff, and May 15th, I guess that's for the
match.
The ROs and everything gets shoot on the 14th, and the actual match is on the 15th. It will consist of 8 stages with a minimum round count of 113. More information can be found at www.opc2016.ca/match/details/. Keep up the great work, Rick. Thanks, Rick.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sending that in. I have been actually sending things out to people, asking them if they know of any events that are happening. So some people have been getting back to me. That's wonderful. And people have been checking. Or if there's nothing that's going on, they said they would send something if something does pop up. So I really appreciate people getting back to us. And also, Rick, thank you for emailing in, because it means that you're interested in stuff that's going on at your club, and
he listens.
Yeah, he listens, and we can talk about it. So and
actually, I have a question for Rick then. Maybe you can write in. So at one point, IDPA didn't have any type of certification, and I think they started it now. Can you let us know if there is certification and what you have to go through in order to shoot IDPA in Ontario?
I have a friend of mine that is with Frontenac, who runs the IDPA. I can ask him too.
I'm just curious if like my Canadian Defensive Pistol Shield, if that's enough certification. I'm sure if you have a, I know if you have a black badge, they will let you shoot it. But I'm just wondering if they have any of their own holster qualification for the Defensive Pistol in Ontario. I as I know, the CDP and IPSC are two that they do accept, but I think they, or I heard they were developing their own course, but I'm not 100%. So if you can get back to us, I'd appreciate it.
We also have other people that we can call upon.
We do?
Yes.
That shoot IDPA?
Yeah, we can actually, I know that maybe we can ask Kevin or somebody else.
Pat Harrison,
yep. So, if Rick, we don't hear from you, we'll talk to somebody else.
Any iTunes?
No. No, I just checked before we did the show, so.
Yeah, so did I, actually.
It's okay. I can still go to sleep because I'm still listening to everybody else's podcasts. Anyways.
I've fallen so far behind on all my podcasts.
I've started adding extra ones. I listen to them when I go to sleep, and I also listen to them going to and from work. So.
What's mostly when I listen to them is on the road.
Hmm. So, anyways. Picked up a couple of new ones, too.
Oh, what are you listening to?
The one that I sent, Yankee Marshall. I think he's pretty good too. So,
yeah, I've been listening to Gun Nation. I stopped listening to Talking Lead. It was getting kind of boring. Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns—they're quite entertaining.
Mhm. Anyways, George.
Yes.
Are you still here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I was just wondering if you were actually going to get us on to any other part of the show.
Oh,
lead host.
closing comments and shoutouts.
Thanks.
Do you have any, George?
I got nothing.
You got nothing? Hey, can I actually ask something? We moved on before. Where were we at with our Facebook likes?
We were at 611. We just surpassed Modern Rifleman Radio.
611 and a bark.
And a bark.
That's Bentley. I think he decided that, I don't know, there was a noise. 611?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, I'm checking it right now, 611.
That's awesome. That's great.
Canadian Rednecks at 636.
We're going to pass it soon. Have you posted anything recently on that?
Yeah, some pictures that come across my Facebook feed.
I've put a couple of things on it lately, too.
Note to self, adjust chili recipe. It's a picture of a toilet with a fire in the toilet bowl.
All right, awesome.
I know the voices aren't real, but man, do they come up with some great ideas. That one reached 154 people.
Okay.
So.
Okay, bring us back to shoutouts.
You want me to go?
Okay, closing comments and shoutouts.
So do we want to... Okay, go ahead.
I have nothing.
You got nothing, really? No shoutouts to anybody?
No, I just basically binged on Show Me all week and laid around the house and did sweet absolutely nothing.
So do you want to say shoutout to Wanda for putting up with you then?
No, I came home for the last week.
Oh, okay.
She's finally back to work. She was on leave because of the surgery, and she went back to work Monday. No, New Year's Eve. So, I was back home last week. Just me and my dog, and Show Me.
Kelly. So, okay.
And the cat has a good home, apparently.
Yes, the cat's got a good home.
That's good. I was wondering about that. Okay, so me next?
Yep. Sure.
Okay, so we're going to have a lady show next week. Anybody have if anybody has anything that they would like us to cover, we're looking at, we're going to be talking about different myths and debunking, you know, certain things about women and shooting. So if you have any questions, just drop us a line, either email or put it on our Facebook page or our message us as well. We have a few ladies, the usual suspects are going to be on the show, so we got Stacy that's coming on, we got Jewel that's coming on, Sarah as well, and we even have Christina as well, and I'm going to be telling her all the prices of Trevor's guns.
Excellent.
And that as well. And Edith is going to join us as well. So the other thing that I did want to talk about is the AR-15 petition that's currently up. Right now there's over 10,000 signatures, and I think, George, you were going to put it in the show notes as well.
It's already there.
It's there.
Okay. So I know that there's 10,000 signatures, but they're hoping to get as many as we can from across the country as well. So sign the petition. We want to see if we can remove the restriction status from the AR-15. I don't really think that's going to happen, but at least if we have a lot of signatures on it, it'll show that we're a united force instead of, you know, people that are in different splinters. Anyways, as I said, sign the petition. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, and get them to sign as well. And yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Reloading Podcast guys, because they're awesome. And that includes you, Mike, as well. Jethro. Jethro, Jim, and Jason, and Jeremy. So, yeah.
Good night, Jethro.
Don't you dare start.
I was gonna do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. That's okay. Good night, guys.
Or she was doing a kiss. All
Thomas, right, Thomas.
I have a shout out to the 618 Queen City Royal Canadian Air Cadets. They actually, that's my old squadron down at HMCS York, and they actually participated in the Tartan Shoot 2016 at Moss Park Armory this year, and they did pretty well for the first showing. We all know, you know, 10X. Well, his son 9X was actually in that competition, and his squadron came in second. They did very, very well. And it was funny. I was looking at some of the pictures, and they've got the cadets down shooting, and I'm looking at the positions, and all the young ladies have proper prone positions. They've all got their legs proper, spaced out. And the guys were really funky. They weren't in proper positions to get their natural point of aim. So I messaged their coach, and I said, I'm looking at these pictures, and I see all the girls are have the proper position, their arms are right, their legs are right, and the guys are all over the place. I said, did the girls win? She said, yes, overall, the girls beat the guys. Because they listen.
I'm not really hearing a lot of people go, really? That's a surprise.
Really? There was probably 8 or 9 pictures of them, and all the women had proper prone positions, and the guys were like monkey legs.
Because that's how it is in Call of Duty. Like, come on, man. Like, honestly, what's the problem?
Yeah, you see, overall, the girls kick the guys' butts.
Yeah. Girls always shoot better than guys.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures. Yeah, they all looked pretty good.
But congratulations to all the cadets, and especially Simon for his squadron doing so well.
Yeah. Cool.
It sucks they have to shoot Daisy air rifles. I could have sold them that 20. I could have sold them that rifle too.
You could have. You could have made a mint off.
I could.
Okay. So, is that it?
That's my shout out.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, subscribing, downloading, and, you know, just being all around awesome listeners. So until next week, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Take your kid shooting.
Keep it classy. And good night, boys.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Stacy.
See you guys next week.
Good night.
45 Lever with the Winchester tag. I like my double barrel.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
hang on, buddy. Just wait. Just wait. I know.
Okay. I turned off my phone. Where is it?
Come on. Get up in the bed. Colt. We're still on the phone. Get up. Come on. Get up. Come on. Up. Lay down. Lay down. Here, I'll move the gun off the bed. Lay down.
Daddy, move the gun.
I did.
I don't want to lay down.
There, it's gone. Go lay down.